Welcome to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us as we study the Word of God together. Go get your Bible and let's see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad in it.
Welcome to Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church and radio broadcast. Thank you for joining us around the world, wherever you may be. We hope you hear something today that will be of encouragement, something that will uplift you. And if you're not saved, ask the age-old question, what must I do to be saved? Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started with scripture and prayer, and then we'll have exhortation from Minister K. Amen. The scripture I have today is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he be made wise. Amen. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for all the blessings that you bring us, Lord. I thank you that we could gather here today, Lord, to worship your name and to glorify you, God. I pray that you be with the speaker today, Lord, that we may hear a word from you, Lord, and not a word from man. As that verse says, what we think is wise is foolishness to God.
Amen.
Continue to bless us, Lord, and continue to help us to grow closer to you, Lord. And I pray for all those who couldn't make it today because of the weather, Lord, be with them as well. Continue to help us to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now we'll have exhortation from Minister K.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah in this place. Come on, y'all now. He said falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to us. So if that's the best thing that ever happened to you, you need to give him a big old hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. Because you know one thing? When you fall in love with Jesus, you can't go wrong.
Hallelujah.
See, here they go with this mic again. But you know what? I was sitting down and was thinking. I had wrote this down a couple of days ago. And I don't know how the Lord is going to move me with it right now, but it was just pressed upon my heart to just read it to you. And I guess it's trying to show me the difference. Like if you look at a building, let's look at yourself. And it said a building that looks condemned on the outside may have great potential on the inside.
Amen.
Now, you know, sometimes when a person looks really, really good on the outside, okay, there's something going on in the inside. Yeah. So then it says the building that looks good on the outside needs major construction on the inside. Now, y'all know I'm going to do a message on this. And so I was thinking about it. So, you know, don't be so busy trying to make yourself look good on the outside when the inside of you was tore up from the floor. See, sometimes you got to realize you can't look at other people and see their problems and can't see yours. Because it's through what you're seeing is something that you need to correct in yourself. See, I learned that a long time ago, but I was like, that ain't none of me. But it turned out to be me. So when I start looking good on the outside, that means God is definitely doing something on the inside. Because I ain't trying to look good on the outside all the time. I want God to change some things inside of me. That when I do shine on the outside, they'll know that I was changed by Jesus. So I just wanted to encourage you with that today. Clean up what's on the inside so God can make you shine like a bright light on the outside. Even though we're always already shining in the light of Jesus, there's still some construction that needs to be done on the inside. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. God is good.
Yes, He is.
And He's good all the time. You know, the saying that we say that God is better to us than we are to ourselves. I've learned that God is better to us than we could ever be to ourselves and others. God is that good. I mean, when we sang that song, it just made me realize there is no place I'd rather be than with Jesus. You know, I've been kicked out of some mighty nice places, but Jesus just don't kick me out. A lot of people done walked by me before, but Jesus just don't pass me by. So you have to get to the point whereas it's all about Him in you and with you to the point that you understand what's really going on.
Amen.
What's really going on is a relationship,
yeah.
Not a religion.
Amen.
Religion divides the body in a way, it's just sickening. I hear people and I talk to people and I want to tell you, walking truth, you know a lot of word. You're getting good teaching, but you don't weaponize the teaching to put somebody down.
Amen.
Some of you just know enough to be dangerous. Because see, what you don't have is the love behind what we done taught you. So we got to rewind it back, Venus, and show them in the teaching how good God is. Because I've heard some things, and I know it's just not us, but you think you know, but you don't know because you're using the wisdom of men, because God said if you don't have love, you don't have anything. So whatever God's gift is giving you, He's giving it to you for the body of Christ. I just don't understand why we can't be so tolerant. Yesterday was a beautiful display of tolerance and love.
Yes.
Don't turn a doctrine into a law.
Okay.
Don't turn a doctrine into a law. A law was given external to say they couldn't. Doctrine is given to internalize what God is and what God is doing, and it comes through your heart and your renewed mind, and as you begin to trust God, you can use the doctrine to get somebody saved. But if you're using the doctrine of God to alienate those who God is trying to save, you are in sin.
Amen. Amen. That's true. Amen.
Sometimes we just need to be corrected in our attitude.
Amen.
So today's story is I hope God can weave it in me like I feel it in my heart. Open up your Bibles to Luke. Chapter 6. And I figured I'd get around to it. Give me a tissue. Luke chapter 6. And today, I labeled him as Dan the man with the withered hand.
Okay.
But that's his name. And no slight on anybody named Dan. But what the question is, what did you come to see? Why did you come to church? Did you come to church to look at somebody across from you and wonder what they got on, what they doing? What they gonna say today, what they not gonna say today, and then you make a judgment call on their spirituality based upon your lack of spirituality. Sometimes what the devil does is allow us to weaponize afflictions in people, meaning that we will take a person who's afflicted, and what we'll do is we'll set them before the church, or we set them before the people of God, and then we, the people, will sit back and watch what you're going to do. Unless you do it this way or that way. If you do it this way, that ain't the way it's supposed to be done. If you do it that way, it ain't the way it's supposed to be done. If you speak a word, oh no, you need to be sprinkled. If you need sprinkled, you need a word. But no, I need to lay hands on you. So think about all the religions that's created out of narratives in Scripture. Because every man thinks he knows the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. But the problem is we all got our preconceived notions of what needs to be done. So you come to church to really just see what we need to do or what somebody else needs to do. And then instead of embracing maybe the change, you want to stay the same. So when on the one who comes in who's afflicted, they can be misused because they're not there. You didn't bring them in to be healed. You brought them in to see how they were going to get healed. Wow. And I'm running before myself, so let's just read the passage. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 6 through 11. Go ahead, Steve.
Starting at verse 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" And after looking around at them, all he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus.
Think about this. There's a man who's there that has an affliction of a withered hand. But the Pharisees didn't bring him so that he can get healed. The Pharisees brought him so they can see, as the pastor say, they wanted to see if Jesus was going to heal on the Sabbath day and do something that they perceived was unlawful. How many times have we been in church and we're just there to see what somebody else is going to do that we consider unlawful? The hurt, the harm, the hungry, the humble can't come into the body of Christ because we're the vanguards of all that's lawful. We got a way. We got to this. Our way is better than their way. And yet and still, when somebody walks through that door, they trying to meet Jesus. They don't care if you got to roll them on the floor. They don't care if you got to lay hands on them. They don't care if you speak a word over them. But they're coming to see Jesus. But who are we coming to see? Who are we coming to criticize? Who are we coming to look at as a body of Christ? Aren't we supposed to be the representatives of the Jesus they come to see? The Pharisees had the law, but they didn't have any heart. They're going to use this man's affliction. I think how evil this is. They're going to use this man's affliction to trap Jesus.
Yep.
Think about how evil that is, that they would use a man's affliction, his inability for his hand to straighten out, just so they could trap Jesus. They didn't care if he actually got healed. Because it was like they were going to see if he was going to try to heal on the Sabbath day. Because he had just told them previously he was Lord on the Sabbath. So by this time, on another Sabbath day, all the scribes and Pharisees came to see what everybody else was seeing, that this man was a man of many miracles. But he had a message. Yes. And he knew the hearts of men. The Bible says that he need no one to tell him what the heart of man is. He knows what man is. But see, Jesus never misses an opportunity to turn that thing upside down. And I'm telling you, he loved the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. because he kept trying to get a point across to them. But see, you can be so prideful in your religion, you'll miss the message and the miracle trying to trap the children of God. So what? We don't do it like they do it across town. Does that make us any better or any less? What it makes us is different. And different don't mean better, and different don't mean worse. But let us not boast in the fact we're different. Let us boast in the fact that we are a man like Dan with a withered hand and a withered heart that need Jesus. Amen. Let us begin to think about our weakness so God can work on us through our weakness. And one of the worst weaknesses a saint can have is pride. Because when you're prideful, you just can't connect to God. You will fall short all the time when you begin to think you know it all.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this. What did he say? Just take a look. The Pharisees did this on purpose. This man didn't really understand why he was there. He probably had a withered hand for quite some time, maybe all his life. And you can imagine the clergy come to your house and saying, hey, we want you to come with us. He said, where are we going? We're going to the synagogue. Okay, we're going to the synagogue. We always go to the synagogue. Just come stand up here. Yeah. Didn't tell the man that he was going to be, his affliction was going to be used as a trap to hinder Jesus' mission. So they can find some reason to accuse him. So what do you mean, saints? You mean we bring people to church to trap the men and women of God so that we can find a reason to accuse them? Or let me put it this way. You mean you come into church with your nose tooted all up in the air to find a reason why Walk of Truth is doing it different from you? No. Or Walk of Truth, are we going to go somewhere and look at somebody and say, oh, we don't do it like that?
No.
The devil is a lie. Thank you, Venus. We are not better. And if we think if you think you better, we worse off than you think that I think we am. We are. Help us, Lord.
Jesus.
Just got a Bible full of Bible and you think you know something.
Say that.
God has graced me to run for I just celebrated 14 years of running him. And I know less now than I did when I started. Because the one thing I have learned is I need to love and trust God. And not be so peculiar and particular about things that have nothing to do with salvation and more to do with maturity and sanctification. Give a person some room to grow up.
Amen.
Mature saints, what I say? Lighten up. Baby saints, grow up. But see, they can't grow up if you're so particular in the walk and truth way and we miss Jesus. If our way is not Jesus' way, we are wasting our time with you. Some of you are not gifted in certain areas. That's okay. But don't look at a gift from somebody else and say, they wrong. Or, we don't do that. So, who made you judge? If I don't judge it, what you doing judging it? The Lord has taught me to lighten up. The scriptures say, don't think more of yourself than you should. Yeah. Philippians said, consider others more what? Significant than yourself.
Yeah.
So in my weakness, in my frailty of my personal preferences, I ask God to come in and show and demonstrate that I'm weak. I'm just like the man with the withered hand, but I might have a withered soul or a withered heart or a withered countenance, or I might be withered today because of things going on in my life. And I need somebody to get me to Jesus, but don't use me to trap Jesus in the sake of God. So I boast in my weakness because it's in my weakness to which God comes from. And we go back to the Old Testament. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24. Read that, Steve.
Jeremiah 9, starting at 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord.
So in other words, the Lord say, Pharisees, don't boast in your wisdom. Steve kind of read that too. Don't boast in your wisdom. Don't boast in your riches. Don't boast at all, because you still need me. Because I'm the Lord with this thing called steadfast love. That's what you need. You need to get in touch with the God who has a steadfast love, because this is what pleases him. Without love, you don't have anything. So don't boast in what you think you have. Boast in what you don't have. Look at what you don't have. Where am I short? Well, I'm short on patience. Lord, give me some patience. Mm-hmm. But don't weaponize my affliction to get over on the saints. The Lord is a Lord of steadfast love. He wants all of us to love each other. He even said that they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love each other. So if love is the banner to which we walk, then we should be able to tolerate the differences inside the body of Christ. He described it as different parts of the body working together, knitted together in love and working together, saying no part is better than the other part. So again, this is the Pharisees looking at Jesus, seeing all the good he did, and then saying, we trying to catch him. But Jesus, understanding their hearts, he had to put a question to them. Is it good to do evil or good on the Sabbath? Is it good to take or to save life? Which one is better? Should I do something that's good, that uplifts and show the God in me? Or should I hold to what you believe the Sabbath is and miss the opportunity to do good? Some of you and some of us are so caught into the ritual of church that you miss the opportunity to give somebody some love. You're so used to sitting in your same spot, and that's why the chairs be different. Because if somebody sat in your chair next to the person you like sitting to, you won't have an attitude. Get up, go sit somewhere else sometime. That ain't your chair. You mean you actually came to church to sit in a certain chair? You mean that's the level of your understanding, that I can't hear God unless I'm propped in this certain position? You're just like the Pharisees. I can't deal with this Jesus. I gotta watch him go through this thing, and I'm going to disagree with it, and we're going to catch him and find a reason to accuse him. And Jesus said, come on, y'all. Isn't it more important that we come to do good? Isn't it important that we come to love on one another? Isn't it more important that we get past our prejudices and our personal differences? Because God said he's no respecter of person. We need not be, but we need to respect everyone. The church has to be a place where doctrine is taught, but the more doctrine you get, the more you love.
Amen.
It can't be a place where there's nobody can walk. When a person walks through that door, that they don't feel the love. The law has already condemned them. Why do you need to condemn? John said that they're condemned already because they don't believe. Well, how can they believe when they can't get past you? This man was being used only to catch the man of the God, this man named Jesus, so that they can begin the hate campaign on him. Sometimes in our churches, things are happening so that you being set up to be hated. But we learned last week that hatred that comes from those who want to ostracize us inside the body of Christ, yes, inside the body of Christ, We need to wear that like a badge of honor, but let's not brag on it. It's sad that we even would have to wear that. Because Jesus did good on their Soho, their holy day. The Sabbath became something that was draconious. It was something that was weighty. It was something that held them down. They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. They couldn't do this. Better not do that. Better not touch this. It became so laborious that it lost its flavor. Don't let church become so laborious and it loses its flavor.
Amen.
Don't get so caught up in what we do and how we do it versus who we serve.
Amen.
I get it. You want to find a ritual you can hang your hat on. I get it. But the same ritual that you hang your hat on be the same ritual that you be condemned by. The thing that you do is turn that ritual into a law. And the law can only condemn you. Because there's somebody down the street that will do your ritual better than you. You only as good to God as you learn to love like God. If you can't love like God and forego the ritual, I can forego anything we do in church other than the word. And if the Lord leads us to just pray for whole service, who am I to question what God want to do with his people? I need to be in tune with God. I need to walk lockstep with God. So if God say, Pastor, sit down today. I just want to minister through prayer through the people, or minister through praise through the people, or minister through song through the people. Y'all are his people.
Amen.
Don't walk out of here and turn your nose up. The pastor didn't preach today. All we did was sing all day. I don't come for the singing. Why not? What did he say? Okay, praise him what?
Through songs.
And hymns. So you miss out on that part except the other part. This is what I keep trying to tell y'all. You got to take all of it, none of it. You can't pick and choose your caveat of worship in a body. Now you want to be a lone ranger and be in sin? Fine, go ahead. But they did this. And God say, don't boast in what you think. Understand, even on your best day, you weak. Even on my best sermon, I am still just a ball of dust, a human being, a fallen human being, a tore-up human being. But God has graced me. He has graced you. And what he did was he died for all of us so that he can legally give us something that we don't want and at the time is, and we don't deserve, is grace and mercy. You know what y'all talk about? Y'all want justice. But you want justice on everybody else, but you don't want justice on yourself. See, what they wanted on Jesus was justice. You have violated the Sabbath day. So, Lord, we need to deal with him based upon the law. But the only problem with justice, please, y'all don't ever ask for justice, because justice has to start with you first. Whatever evil in the world has done that you think God is sleeping on, just ask this question. It could have been you. And then you got to ask God, why not me? And then you got to say, well, God, if you don't know the Lord and you're kind of arrogant, you'll say, well, I didn't deserve that. That's why it didn't happen to me. No. It's only by the grace of God that it wasn't you. Because whatever evil happened in this world can happen to you. And God doesn't have to explain it to you. You better thank God that he has this thing called grace and mercy, that he gives it to whom he chooses, because he has the prerogative to do what he wants to do with his mercy. He doesn't. Don't act like you have earned grace, because if you've earned grace, it becomes a work. Don't sit there with your arrogant self like the Pharisees and like, oh, I can make a judgment call because I know the law. No grace, no love. I'm trying to protect God. God don't need your protection. You need his. And when God decides to wake you up in the morning, it's only by grace you woke up. It's not the alarm clock. It's not what you think. It's God waking you up. Because he's saying, I'm not done with you yet. When that bullet don't come through your window and goes through somebody else's window, it's by the grace of God. Because it could have been you. But the only difference is, absent from our bodies, we present with the Lord. You can't avoid the calamities of this fallen world. He hasn't dealt with that part yet. But what he has dealt with is that sin may have no more dominion on you, and that you don't have to do it anymore because you have the power in you to walk in the resurrection. But if I'm going to walk in resurrection, we need to not be able to put people down for what they believe. If you've been a sinner, but we all are still sinners saved by grace, you should understand what a complete sinner don't understand. And even when inside the body of Christ, when Paul said we all fall short daily, that's us. So don't look at that person in the body of Christ because they're different as you're better. How are you better because I'm different? Unless you are arrogant and boastful and prideful. And God says, pride goes before the fall.
Amen.
These Pharisees were arrogant. But Jesus, knowing their hearts, he brought them in. He brought them in. He said, stand right here. Stand right here. And he said, stretch out your hand. Now, to show you it was a nefarious reason why he brought them in, they were enraged. They were upset. They wanted to kill Jesus on the spot. So hold on. You bought me in to get healed, but you really bought me in to catch him so you can kill him? So if you don't really care about me getting healed, you care about the ceremony and what you believe what should be done on Sabbath night. You mean you didn't bring me for good reasons? You brought me to take advantage of my affliction. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'm about to land this plane. Go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Verse 29 and 30. Check this out. Look what he said. This is Paul. So we went to the Old Testament. Let's see if Paul's still running with this. Go ahead.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 29. Who is weak? And I am not weak.
So Paul is asking the question, who is weak among you? Am I not weak? Go ahead.
Who is made to fall? And I am not indigent.
Who is made to fall? And I am not indigent. I'm still poor. Okay, he asked the question. He's asking questions like, can't y'all see that I ain't who y'all think I am as far as, you know, the word of God is in me, but still, I'm still weak. Mm-hmm. I'm still afflicted. I'm not as prominent as you may want me to be. I've been beat with five times with 39 lashes minus one. Five times I've been hit with rods. I've been chased by my countrymen and the Gentiles. I've been lowered down in the basket. I've been stoned. Don't you realize that I'm weak? Because if I was strong, I would have a reason to boast. But since I'm weak, can't you see it? Can't you see I'm frail just like you frail? Yeah. But God uses frail folk. The reason why you want to admit that you're frail because then God can use you and show his power through you. But when you're boasting and bragging and walking around like a Pharisee trying to catch people up, God can't use you. You being used by the devil. Yeah. Read.
If I must boast, I will boast on the things that show my weakness.
So if I'm boasting, I'm going to boast on things that show my weakness. If I'm going to brag on something, I'm going to brag on my lack of strength in every area of my life that I can't do without Jesus. There's no part of your life that you can handle without Jesus. I don't care if it's your marriage, your job, your finances, your family relationships. You need Jesus in the areas that you're weak. You got the mean sister or brother. You need grace to talk to them. You have the ignorant spouse. You need grace to deal with them. You go to your job and they say all manner of things against you, you need grace to keep your mouth shut. I'm weak. In a way, if I'm not careful, I could be like the Pharisees. I could be so prideful in what I know to be true that I take the truth of God and weaponize it to keep others away. So let's go back to the original question. What did you really come to see? Did you come to see the weakness of the saints and us trying to be on one accord to love one another and strengthen ourselves in service? Or did you come just look across the aisle in another seat and really begin to judge them for what they look like, what they don't look like, what they think about, what they don't say? Why ain't they doing this? Why am I always doing this? Well, maybe you're the one with the gift for that. Nobody in walking truth can look at nobody walking truth. You can't look at nobody and judge nobody. What you doing? Who are you? Well, I feel. That's when you mess up. In your feelings and not in the facts. God saved you just like he saved them. Run to Romans 5 and 1 for me. And then I'm done. Let's look at what God did. Let's look what we achieved on the cross for us. 5, 1 and 2.
Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God.
No, since we've been justified by our religious activities, we have peace with God.
By faith.
You sure, Steve? You sure it's not by the way we dress, the way we look, the way we talk?
Come on.
You sure it's not by the gifts that I have? I'm justified because I'm a preacher. I'm justified because we can know the Bible. Venus is justified because she can teach the Old Testament. Rand Nancy and Karen are justified because they can exalt. Yeah. Mother's justified because she can pray. Jackie, no. You're not justified by your gift.
Not at all.
You justified by faith. And what? Go ahead.
We have peace.
You have what?
Peace.
Peace with who?
With God.
So if I've achieved peace with God, don't you think I'll be able to achieve peace with man? We have peace with God because we're justified by this beautiful thing called faith. By grace, through faith, we have been saved, which is a gift from God. So we got peace because of the gift he gave us. And we not to believe in the gift. What's the gift? What he did on the cross for us, that he rose again and on the third day, and we can walk in the power of the resurrection. That's what we got peace by. We believe that. We have nothing else to hang our hat on but faith in that. I don't have faith in my gift to preach. I have faith in the gift, the God who gave me the gift to preach. All right, read.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
So let me just break it down simple for you. In the faith that we have this grace. The grace gives us this access to God that we didn't have before, and in which that we stand. So by faith we stand in the grace that God gives us, and it gives us access. And a lot of times you don't have access because you're not operating under the power of faith. You are operating under the power of works. You are operating under the power of pride, and that will not get you to God. Humility will get you to God. Hunger will get you to God, but that won't get you to God. Trust me. I don't care how many times you do whatever you do. Your works are like filthy rags unless it has some love in it. It could be just for you, but do something for the body sometime. So selfish with your spirituality. You think you're doing something, and all you're doing is showing that you're prideful.
Amen.
Let's just work on our faith walk. Let's not work on our rituals. Let's work on our faith walk. So when we do decide to do something, it's covered by grace and love because we're doing it to benefit the next person. I miss the fact that we used to pray holding hands. Because we always used to talk about maybe the hand you're holding got something that you need. Maybe the person's hand that you're holding got something they need from you. But again, what did you come to church to see? You should come to church to see God. You should come to church to seek God. You should come to church to learn how to serve God. And if you come with that attitude, you won't be a Pharisee. You won't be trying to set people up. You'll be trying to lift people up. Let's pray. Oh, grace, Heavenly Father, I just thank you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the people. Continue to grace us, oh Father God, with the power that we can walk in the resurrection, oh Father God. Teach us that we are maybe weak in our affliction, but we're powerful in Christ. Watch over your body, oh Father God. Watch over your body. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lies within each and every one of us, because you said it's the mystery has always been Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. So let us be purveyors of hope. Let us be surveyors of faith, and let us be the ones who serve God up, lift people up, and love on the people that come that we come in contact with. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 All right. We want to thank everybody who's listening around the world. We want to thank you. We hope you heard something that will encourage you, inspire you, and uplift you. And we want to tell you, always remember to what? Walk in truth.
Thank you for listening to the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. If this message has been a blessing to you, consider donating on your favorite platform. You can donate by looking in the description box and picking your favorite platform of choice, Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal. Continue listening. And your prayers are needed, welcomed, and appreciated.
If you do not have a place of worship, please consider Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church your home. We are a safe place to worship, supporting the edification of the body with all of its gifts. Sound biblical teaching is at the center of our worship as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sharing the fruit of the Spirit and moving forward in faith through serving our community is our privilege and pleasure.